Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Mraz. Today's show was fuller than me after an NFL Sunday. Enjoy the takes and laughs in the best of the DA show.
Last night, game number four. It was a 2-1 series lead by the Lakers. Obviously, a Los Angeles win would put a big-time series control in the Lakers' hands, although 3-1 doesn't necessarily mean much when it's the Denver Nuggets. They've come back from 3-1 twice already this postseason. But last night, as great as Jamal Murray was, and some of the circus shots he was shooting and hitting were remarkable, conjuring up images of MJ in his prime, twisting and turning, contorting to the basket, and throwing shots off glass, them going in. It wasn't enough because for all of Jamal Murray's heroics, the Lakers were just too much. And now for Los Angeles, a win away from the NBA Finals. Is there any way that team loses that lead the way that the Nuggets have come back previously in the postseason? It's where we begin. Your cold open.
Murray guarded by LeBron. Murray drives right by LeBron, got to the rim. LeBron blocked it. Great block by LeBron. Here comes Rondo the other way. Lakers 5-on-4. Rondo begging people to spread the floor. Instead, he takes a 15-footer and hits it. Huge shot by Rajon Rondo. Lakers 107, Denver 102.
LeBron asked for the assignment, and obviously I granted it. And, you know, he did a great job down the stretch, you know, trying to contain him one-on-one. Murray had a great night. And, you know, nothing was really working in terms of trying to slow him down until Bron took that assignment. So game ball to him, I guess, for that move.
Understanding why you win and why you lose in this business is critical. And we did a poor job in that area tonight. And they were more physical. They were more aggressive. And that's one of the main reasons that we lost.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Well, that was Lakers radio on the call. 114-108 victory by the Lakers last night. That was also the two coaches, Frank Vogel for the Lakers and Michael Malone for the Denver Nuggets. And this is why LeBron James is one of the greatest players we've ever seen, and in the conversation of the greatest player we've ever seen, is because not only does LeBron continuously come up big in big spots, he's proven that year after year after year for the last decade, since he began going into the NBA Finals almost every year with that run in Miami and then that run in Cleveland, we have seen continuously in the conference finals, in must-win games of the playoffs, elimination games, and then obviously the NBA Finals, he clicks it into a different gear, offensively, spreading his teammates out, assist-wise, rebound-wise. He just becomes a triple-double machine in many ways when the game is at its best and most important in the playoffs. And last night was not much different. 26-9-8. He's a board and two dimes away from a triple-double last night. But with Jamal Murray hitting all of those crazy shots last night, he also switched on to defending him. And so here is where LeBron elevates himself. He is a scorer when needed. He is a distributor when needed. He is a rebounder when needed. He is a clutch player when needed. He is a winner. And He's the team's most important defender many times as well. And last night, Murray was phenomenal, and he has totally proven his worth in this postseason. And obviously, we all come out of this bubble knowing that Jamal Murray is already a star and has the potential to be one of the great scorers in the NBA for the next 10 years. But last night, the Nuggets ran into a better team with two great players playing at their apex, and perhaps the greatest player ever saying, you know what, give me Murray. And that made all the difference down the stretch, as every time the Nuggets needed to stop, they couldn't get it, and the Lakers got enough of them in the fourth quarter. Also, the Nuggets just did not get production out of Nikola Jokic. He had to be in the 20s, and had he played in the 30s, and you get 30 out of Murray and 30 or 32 out of Murray and 30 to Jokic, now you give yourself a chance in a game like that. But Jokic only had 16 points last night, missed a lot of the time in the fourth quarter because of foul trouble, and that really did the Nuggets in as well. The Denver Nuggets have been, I mean, otherworldly when it comes down 3-1. They have had their backs against the wall and have proven this competitive spirit that they're never, ever, ever going to take an L and do it lightly. But I think this series is over because, unlike the Jazz and unlike the Clippers, the Lakers have two superstars who are right now ascending at the right time and doing it on all sides of the floor. LeBron, 26-9-8, and then also playing defense against Jamal Murray in the fourth quarter. Anthony Davis, 34 points, 5 rebounds, also 3 steals defensively, and is always a terror on the backboard and defending shots and deflecting shots. It was a little scary when he went down last night and seemed to twist that ankle, but AD shook it off and played the rest of the way. And for the Nuggets, it's been a great run. I certainly wouldn't say they can't win a game 6 or a game 5, rather, but I think this series is over. The Nuggets coming back from down 3-1 against the other two teams they played, the Jazz and the Clippers, is way different than doing it against AD and LeBron. And LeBron James doesn't gag away leads in the playoffs, and I don't expect him to do that here either. An important win for the Lakers to not allow this to be 2-2. It's now 3-1, and the Denver Nuggets have to win 3 consecutive against the best team in basketball to move on to the NBA Finals. Here is your phone number, 855-212-4227. Also on Twitter, DA on CBS. And one thing that we saw last night that I think is going to be a harbinger for what comes down to the NBA Finals is the Lakers out-rebounding the Nuggets 43-31. They also had an advantage of plus 6 offensive rebounds-wise, 12-6. Those are the things that are going to be huge. That's a box that you want to watch in the NBA Finals. Because whoever it's going to be, let's go ahead and say that it's the Miami Heat. The Heat are such a physical team. They're a deliberate team. It's not a high-flying offensive explosion team that wants to run and gun, even though a guy like Tyler Hero can go for 37. They want to do the little things. They want to beat you up on the board. They want to be more physical than you. They want to win the little games of the game within the game. And if the Lakers, especially with Anthony Davis, are going to control the boards, it's a huge swing for the Lakers. And for the Celtics, they don't have a group of guys that are going to punish the Lakers on the boards as well if somehow the Celtics came all the way back from down 3-1. So that's an advantage right now that the Lakers have over both the Heat and the Celtics, and could very well define the NBA Finals. LeBron is a win away from yet another NBA Finals. Mraz, I got to say, down 3-1 to the Jazz or to the Clippers feels a lot different for the Nuggets than down 3-1 to the Lakers, LeBron and AD.
It feels completely different, and I love the fact that Frank Vogel said LeBron asked about guarding Jamal Murray. No. We know how this works. He told you he was going to guard Jamal Murray, and that was all the difference. Now, here's where it felt like it might have been different. early in that fourth quarter when Anthony Davis rolls that ankle, and he looked to be thriving in pain at that point. If Anthony Davis had a significant injury, and it looks like it is not that, this is a completely different series because Anthony Davis has been the ultimate X factor in this matchup and something that the Nuggets just seem to not be able to figure out, while the Lakers supporting cast behind LeBron and AD is hit or miss on any given night on what they're giving you other than the combined, you know, at least 60 points that LeBron and Davis are getting. But if Davis is fine and he's healthy and way to go, this is a completely different matchup for the Nuggets. I don't think there's any way they can find a way to reel off three in a row now.
Yeah, that AD acquisition is such a seismic decision and trade for the Lakers, because even though they give up a lot to get AD to the Pelicans, obviously, Anthony Davis presents something that nobody else in the NBA has, which is a seven-footer that runs the floor like a gazelle, that blocks shots, that shoots from three, and that can just fill up a stat sheet. Jokic is great, but Jokic doesn't run the floor like AD and isn't a defensive monster like AD as well. It's just a different beast that you have to deal with on top of LeBron. So I agree with you. If AD had gone down with that ankle injury and couldn't come back, that's a different fourth quarter, no matter if LeBron wants Jamal Murray or not. But with AD, it just goes to show you there was really not a price you could pay that was too stiff to acquire a guy like Anthony Davis in his prime. By the way, with one more win, LeBron James goes to his 10th NBA Finals. 10! He's been in the league 17 years. He would have gone to 9 of the last 10 NBA Finals and 10 all told with another win in the Western Conference Finals.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And this morning it's an Ask the Pros morning, where you guys get to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, and we'll answer it later on in the show. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS, and be listening later on in the show. Ask the Pros brought to you by O'Reilly. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. To begin sound check this morning, let's start with Bill Belichick as the Patriots take on the Raiders. And when asked about the job that John Gruden has done in returning to the Raiders, Belichick, little meat on the bone.
I think that Coach Gruden, has done an outstanding job, really, of putting this team together in a pretty short amount of time, both from a personnel standpoint, coaching staff, and just the way that he's been able to get the players to do the things that I know he believes in and what he wants them to do.
I think that John Gruden has been far better than I would have thought. The front office has been far better than I have thought. Mike Mayock's been a far better hire than I thought. And Gruden has not treated this as his retirement plan. And I appreciate that. For John Gruden coming out of the broadcast booth, it always felt like he needed the perfect situation. And to me, when I saw a 10-year deal and an organization with one foot out the door in Oakland, it felt like this was his retirement deal. 10 years, six of which might be on the sidelines, the final four of which will be in the front office, and he will ride off into the sunset as the snarling Chucky character for the Raiders. And instead, he's built them into a competitive club. Now, last year they were 6-4 and collapsed down the stretch. But there is no doubt, you cannot argue, they have drafted and developed very well. They have found guys where others have overlooked them, like Darren Waller. They have drafted and developed guys like Joshua Jacobs. They have a team that is competitive each and every week for the most part. And even despite the swoon last year, the Raiders are an interesting team. Now, this year, I don't know if they would get this much national TV if they didn't have a brand new stadium and playing in a brand new city. Had they still been in Oakland, I think they get half the primetime slots they got this year. Nonetheless, the Raiders are plucky, they're competitive, they're young, and they're interesting. And I give all of that credit to both John Gruden and Mike Mayock for making it that way. Meantime, elsewhere in Soundcheck, how about Vin Scully, who we did this story a couple of weeks ago, finally joined social media. Why in your 90s you would want anything to do with the sewer, the cesspool that is social media, but God bless, because Vin Scully is an American hero. He is truly one of the greatest Americans ever to live. And here he is on Instagram, saluting the Dodgers on winning the National League West.
Hi, everybody, and especially members of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Here's one sending you our heartiest congratulations on winning the National League Western Division 8 straight years. You know, it's very difficult to win. I think sometimes fans forget about it, thinking, oh, yes, now they've won it 8 in a row. But it is so hard, no matter how many games you play, to win. In fact, I guess those thoughts are in my mind because when I first started, 1950, the Dodgers lost the pennant in the 10th inning of the final game of the year. And I remember driving home thinking, what an experience. I'll probably never go through that again. And sure enough, 1951, the Dodgers lost in the bottom of the 9th inning on the famous Bobby Thompson home run. And then there were a couple of good years where the Brooklyn Dodgers won, and then we came to California, started off on the right foot in 1959. But in 1962, there was that pain again as another one went down the drain. So over the years, it's nice to win, but it really breaks your heart when you lose.
Uh-oh. Is Vin Scully preparing for another devastating October exit by the Dodgers? It's really great when you win, but here we go again. The Dodgers are going to end up breaking our hearts again. I mean, can you imagine ever being that together and that polished and that smooth and that cogent at 92 years old? That is amazing. That is truly, truly, truly amazing. You might not have, you know, the ability to do a 3-hour baseball game every single night, even if you were only to do 50 or 60 of the 160, maybe the Dodgers would even be okay with that. But okay, maybe doing 3 hours in a game and all the little minutiae in there is difficult. But in terms of still capturing the moment and remembering all these things that happened, I mean, Vin Scully is amazing. Also, he was calling games before Dwight Eisenhower was president. He's citing 1950 there. 5-0. This is before Ike takes the office. I mean, this is how long ago this was, everybody. He's calling games. Like, he wasn't born then. He was calling Dodgers games in 1950. 5-0. What a legend. I mean, Merez, what would you sound like at 92 years old on Instagram? Would you still be fighting with Bogish over the Celtics-Nets trade?
Yeah, look, at 90, if I've made it that much on Instagram, my assumption is all my videos would be about how I lost 200 pounds and this is a great way to live your life, and I would doing infomercials, because how else would I be alive over 93 years old with the life I lived? I would only be able to preach the turnaround. It would be the ultimate comeback story if I was making videos at that age and still kicking.
Have you thought about what your expiration tag is?
I think now you have to lower expectations and shoot for a hard 75. I think that's, you make it past 75, living the life I've lived by 33. I think you just, you sign it and you welcome it, you know?
So you'd be okay signing off if the big guy upstairs came down and said, Sean, you have treated your body like a dumpster. I have decided at 75 is the final day. And you'd be like, you got it.
Yeah, I mean, if I could live a year at 75, you know, kind of like the NFL did with the 75th anniversary patches, gotcha. Maybe every shirt I have, you know, Mraz 75th anniversary, and at least make it through that year and wave to the crowd, I think that's perfect. I do. I mean, ideally, am I looking for 100? Sure, but do I have to understand that when you eat as much Arby's onion rings as I do, that perhaps those extra 25 might not be in the works for you? Well, at some point, you got to grip reality, right?
So, coming up later on in the hour, I'd like you to do a little exercise. Can you tell me, coming up in a few minutes, who would be our 75th anniversary Mraz team? This would be people in your life, okay? People in your life that would have made, of course, you're only less than halfway there, but people in your life that would make the All-Mraz 75th anniversary team.
That will be living with me, is what you're saying?
No, just people that have come in and out of your life that would be important enough to be on the 75th anniversary Mraz team.
Okay, all right, sure.
I thought you were going to say, do me some exercises, do 75 jumping jacks.
Oh, yeah. No.
No, not at this time. I have pizza at 9 p.m.
No, I don't. I want him to see 75 and not the expiration tag be 33.
Plus, I don't know what Chernoff would do at Christmas Eve if I did 75 jumping jacks right now.
Yeah. We'd have nobody to book our NFL Network guest on Tuesday, so we need to keep Mraz alive. And finally, here's Jason in Harrisburg, who calls the Jim Rome Show yesterday inside the jungle and has a thought on what I use to floss every night.
We go to Harrisburg. Jason. Jason, what's your beef?
What's up, Jimbo? My beef is Damon Amendolara. I just heard him do the top of the hour sports update, and I know personal appearances are not show fodder, so I never really thought those comments about him having tombstones in his mouth were very funny until I just saw his picture on the CBS website. Holy crap, Jim. Does this dude have to floss his teeth with a yo-yo? It looks like he's the love child of Liv Tyler and Alvin the Chipmunk. Ward DA doing Rock the Cradle to get between his back molars, and Ward Drizzle using a lilac blossom as a loofah. I'm out.
Personal appearance still not show fodder, Jason. Even if you think that DA needs to do Rock the Cradle to floss his back molars.
Good, but not the best. I mean, using a yo-yo to floss, I've had better ones. You can do better than that. That's pretty good. I like one guy told me that I think brush my teeth with a vinyl siding cleaner or something like that. Oh. One of those giant hoses. That's pretty good though. And that is your sound check. Yesterday's fight between all of us when it comes to the Nets and the Celtics trade a couple of years ago really caught a lot of steam on social media yesterday. And it was led by Mraz screaming bloody murder at Bogish and yelling, "You lose." What'd you say? "You lose. Good day, sir."
Yeah, I dropped a Willy Wonka on him. "You lose. Good day, sir."
That was aggressive, and that was kind of the highlight. Now, with this came a lot of hot takes on social media, and it felt like all of Boston was all over you, Mraz. How was the day searching through your at mentions after that thing went crazy?
Yeah, it was I'm not going to lie. It was fun because, as we've pointed out, DA, there is healthy social media me and unhealthy social media me, and if the fights are going to come my way and I'm not the ones picking them, I feel like it is open season to argue back. So it felt relieving. It felt good. And what you learn is there are a lot of Celtic fans in denial. What you also learn is the video clip we put out was a little out of context because a lot of people's main take was, of course the Celtics won the trade. This guy's a fat buffoon. He's an idiot. And I never said the Celtics didn't win the trade. That was never the point of my argument. So it was nice to hit him back with that. But you really learn there's something in there with Celtic fans and Brad Stevens and everything where it just feels like that franchise is in the ultimate denial mode about where they are and how they keep choking in Eastern Conference Finals. And I was basically sitting there like it was, you know, the Godfather just spraying everybody. I loved it.
Well, we're going to talk to Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe coming up later on in the show, and we'll ask him these types of questions. But I think there's one thing in Boston that becomes abundantly clear. The Boston sports fan can be really negative. They beat up on the Red Sox really good. They beat up on the Bruins really good. When the Patriots lose a game, there definitely is hand-wringing. When the Celtics lose, there's a little bit like you don't want to pick on your youngest kid. I don't know why this is, but they've always treated the Celtics with kid gloves. I know this having worked there. There is far more Celtics apologists than there is any for any other team in that city, even the Patriots, which is kind of crazy. So it kind of came out yesterday. There is a segment of the Celtics fans that will just defend them to the hilt no matter what. But I do think that's an interesting point. I think some of the clip, the context was missed. And do we blame Cap here for basically throwing a grenade down a hallway looking for you to get exploded because he's a Celtics fan and maybe wanted the message to be distorted so that Celtics fans came after you?
I mean, to me, there's no question that Cap did that. I think Cap had two things in mind. Number one, he's a great web producer looking to make sure people see a clip that he takes the time cutting. And number two, he's a Celtic fan that got annoyed at my take and wanted me ultimately took down. So he knew what would sell. I mean, Dia, you talked about earlier in the week, don't pay attention to cable news. Cap basically might as well have been producing cable news yesterday. He knew absolutely what would sell to the public and is clearly sold. I mean, I'm waking up to the big lead telling me that, you know, I am certifiably insane for my take. So he knew it would say, that's fine. I mean, I still said all those words he put out there. But yes, what everybody crushed me for was something I never actually said in the video, and I can understand why people took that out of context. But Cappy, Mr. Celtic, needed the Green Army to come behind him and support him. Now he's got pictures of Bogus's face in that Celtic logo as the Celtic, basically as the leader of the Boston herd there. It's unbelievable. But look, it's to be expected from Homer Kaplan, and I understand what he was doing, and I just take it in stride.
That today's, as you said, the big lead ran a story about how dopey your take is, which is taken out of context. AB?
Well, I just want to ask a question, I guess, on behalf of Kaplan and the Green Army, because I do agree with Sean that in general, I do think your point was taken somewhat out of context, but when you're yelling at me that it's an unmitigated disaster if the Nets win a title before the Celtics do off of that trade, then how are you... there's a little bit of room there for people to think that you're saying that the trade then is a failure for the Celtics if the Nets win a title first. Like, there's a little bit of a sliver there where it makes sense the way some people did respond to you, because what's a failure then? Like, what specifically is the failure? That they made that trade and didn't win, and the Nets did. So then the trade is a failure, right?
Round two.
No. It's a Friday. We're not going to fight. I hear your point, and let me just say this on the record. The Celtics won the trade with the Nets. They got the better of the assets.
By far. It's not even close.
It's undeniable. So that was not my argument. My point was this. What the Celtics would have... as of now, there's still plenty of room to go, done with those assets compared to a team they left basically on the side of the highway, butt naked, with nothing, but a necklace on, for them to have now bottomed out, rebuilt, attracted free agents, and potentially get to an NBA final before the Celtics did with all those assets, I find to be a disaster. It doesn't mean the Celtics lost the trade. It means their turnaround of what they've done with the assets as quickly as what the team they left bottomed out would have turned around and done, to me, is a disaster.
Now I'm thinking of Billy King in Naked and Afraid, butt naked on the side of the road, shivering in the cold, nothing but a necklace.
It should be noted that people, I think, thought me and Bogus were both Celtic fans arguing, because somebody did say, from left to right, I was Southie, DA was Sacha Baron Cohen, and Bogus was Cambridge. Nice. So whatever that meant, that seemed to be something that got a little run yesterday as well.
My wife.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in mothership history.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit? Car, motorcycle, RV policies, that's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn more. Let's go back 1 year ago, where the DA show, all about food, discussed romantically our favorite burgers. Let's roll tape.
Hear the bacon on top of a burger. Delicious.
A little aioli?
A little aioli.
How about a little Russian?
With a brioche? Forget about it. You throw an onion ring on top of that?
Pretzel bun?
Forget See? It. Yes, exactly. So now you know you got your Five Guys, you got your Shake Shack, you got your In-N-Out, you got your Five Napkins, you got your Sizzle Burger, your Smash Burger, your Mash Burger, your Burger Burger. You got your everything.
Where you can get good burgers.
And I'm just telling you.
The Town Tavern.
You don't need to go to a fast food joint anymore, even though the burger boom has hit there where you're getting big Angus burgers. You really now, we're living in what I would surmise is the golden era of burgers.
I would assume so. But get in while you can, because 2029 could be the golden era of chicken tenders. We don't know.
I think we're evolving towards the chicken sandwich boom. I see that happening
well,
a lot.
Oh, sure.
Now, I'm wondering where we go with the vegan burgers. I still haven't really sunk my teeth, my oversized chompers, into a vegan burger. I don't know about this Impossible Whopper. I don't think I would opt for that.
You can opt for it, or you're a fool. It's fake blood. Who wants fake blood?
There's fake blood inside?
Oh, it bleeds. It bleeds.
Yeah, that's
kind of the hook. But it doesn't bleed blood.
The hook is that these vegan burgers, these vegetarian burgers, bleed, quote unquote. Like it's real, but it must be like beet juice.
What?
I mean, I'm out. I wasn't in to begin with, but it's definitely out now.
This was spawned by my realization that the burger is the perfect meal. That a hamburger, when you can doll it up, dress it up, is the perfect meal. It is not necessarily sloppy because you could eat it with your hands. It could be sloppy if you overdid the condiments and toppings, but you get your big, juicy piece of meat, and then you get to do whatever you want, so it can be very custom made. Plus, it's a sandwich, but it's a hot sandwich. And now, in the burger boom, you could have a turkey burger, and sometimes turkey burgers are delicious. You can get an Angus burger. You can get a cheeseburger. You can get all different types of meats. You can get different types of cheeses. And all of these places are popping up all over the place where, Mraz, I just felt like, you know what? I had a realization, a come-to-Jesus moment. The burger is the perfect meal.
It's so perfect it gets overlooked, right? Because it's on every menu. I mean, you can go to an Italian place and you'll find a burger somehow on a menu, and I think because it's so common, people avoid ordering it, but now you've gotten burger specialization, and it keeps evolving since we've had that conversation. It is unbelievably perfect. You pair it right with either a good craft beer, a milkshake, a french fry, a sweet potato fry, a waffle fry. Thick bacon, floppy bacon, lettuce, onion, as I mentioned, an aioli, a Russian, a mayo, a ketchup. Oh my goodness, oh my.
And people are doing crazy things with burgers, and I'm here for it. Doesn't mean I'm going to try every one of them, but I'm loving. It used to just be if you wanted a burger, you got a cheeseburger or a plain burger. Now, if I'm slinging burgers at my house, I better do something a little bit more than that. And I better get a little bit more creative. And if I go out, I better have all types of condiment options, topping options, customization.
The bread. Forget, we used to just get, you know, your little hamburger bun. Now you're talking about flatbread, brioche bun, onion bun, sourdough bread.
Your famous drop, pretzel bun.
Pretzel bun. DA, they took the pretzel, cut it in half, bunned it. Burger on a pretzel. Think about that. We invented electricity and toilet paper, and yet the guy who invented the pretzel bun gets overlooked in American history, and he should have some kind of medal.
Is it not amazing that Mraz is the two things that stand out for great inventions for Mraz, electricity for TV and toilet paper, and then he'll add pretzel bun in the middle of that.
Okay, so you try, using leaves to wipe in the dark. I mean,
I'd rather do that. I'm just saying, in your mind, forget the combustible engine, forget, you know, other things that happened in American history. Let's talk about toilet paper and electricity.
The best, and the pretzel bun. Unbelievable.
Ho, Stuffiness with Football. Mraz gives you his NFL picks every week. It's Up the Gut, only on the DA Show.
It's Ask the Pros Day. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Don't forget, today is a Target Demo Friday, which means we want to know what you're doing, where you are, and how you're listening. So send it to us. You'll see me, Bogus, and Mraz, photoshopped by Kaplan as part of the Celtic Pride DVD box set. You'll see that on social media, Facebook and Twitter. Let us know that information there, and we'll read that coming up here later on in the show. It is time for Mraz's Up the Gut Week 3 picks. And Mraz is 5-1 compared to Super Dave's 1-4. Mraz, you're playing a little bit of confidence right now, are you?
I am. Even hit a little second half Dolphins money line last night, DA, to get the week started, and away we go.
So, we'll start with Mraz's picks here. We begin with a big one, Cardinals-Lions. This used to be the dregs, but right now the Cardinals are 2-0 and Kyler Murray is looking good. The Cardinals take on the Lions. Arizona's a 5.5-point favorite, and you like the Cards.
I do. Look, if Super Dave can pick a Georgia Southern game, I certainly could pick Cardinals
sure,
Lions.
It's about winning.
Look, they're laying 5.5, and Kyler Murray, we haven't really discussed it much on the show, has gotten a lot of the MVP hype train stuff going on, that he's going to enter the top five quarterback stratosphere. He could win MVP this year. I'm not there yet, but he's looked damn good. And a light bulb has gone on for him. That light bulb is DeAndre Hopkins, DA. 22 receptions already through 2 weeks. The Detroit Lions come in. I mean, look, they didn't belong on the same field last week versus the Packers. Matt Patricia is right up there with Adam Gase for Bozo of the Year already. We knew it was a disaster when it happened. It seems to be a disaster unfolding. They collapsed, remember, week one versus the Bears. Now they go on the road to Arizona, where they're expected to slow down Kyler Murray's offense and the way they've got done cooking here. I don't buy it one bit. The hook here is 5.5, so if you get the touchdown win, which you would expect from a Kyler Murray Cardinals team, even if they gave up 20 points and, say, won this game 27-20, you cover. I think 5.5 is not a big enough number here. Give me the Cardinals laying the wood against the Lions.
A good bet is who gets fired first, Matt Patricia or Adam Gase. Both those guys are terrible. Bucks and Broncos. This one's in Denver at Mile High. Tampa Bay goes to Mile High. Now, Tom Brady's always played poorly in the thin air. He always has had a lot of tough games out there. But the Bucks are 6-point favorites over the Broncos. Remember, Drew Lock out of this game injured. And so you like the Bucks big.
Yeah, and look, Brady also has one there as well. I know it's been kind of a house of horrors, but remember, there's still no Von Miller. There won't be all year on this defense. Now, Cortland Sutton, done for the year. No Drew Lock. I mean, it's basically going to have to be the Jeff Driscoll, Jerry Jeudy show for the Denver Broncos. And I am not one that is waving the Bucks pom-poms by any means, but I think last week was an enormous hurdle to beat the Carolina Panthers and get that win, first win off the board, and get everything calmed down in Tampa. You need a touchdown, like I mentioned with the Cardinal game here, to cover you. I think Tampa goes and gets it done. I just don't know how Denver is going to have the weapons offensively or the quarterback play offensively to keep up with what Tampa Bay can do on offense, even if I think Tom Brady's a game manager. I'm not saying the Bucs go and light up the scoreboard for 41, but what I am saying is an easy cover by 6 points should not be an issue here. Give me Tampa.
Off the top of my head, I can think of 3 playoff losses at Mile High for Tom Brady. He lost to Jake Plummer in the playoffs in 05, I believe. And then they lost twice to Peyton Manning in AFC Championship games in Denver. I can't remember a Mile High win for the Patriots.
Regular season. I had dug deeper. I should have put this in my column. Brady does have a couple wins there. I saw the record online when I was looking into picking this game. Okay. And off the top of my head, I don't have it. But I know he has one there, yes.
And finally, Chiefs and Ravens. This Monday nighter is going to be awesome. It's KC, it's Baltimore, it's Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs are underdogs on the road in Baltimore. They're getting a field goal, and you can't believe the Super Bowl champs are actually underdogs.
And if you're going to take a Cardinal-Lion game, you got to take the Chief-Raven game, which could be game of the year, don't you? This is a great Monday night game. I can't wait to get into it on Tuesday morning and react to it. It should be a lot of fun. And look, you don't need to break down the X's and O's of the Baltimore Ravens and Kansas City Chiefs to try to find an edge here. This is a bet, and I will be honest with the audience right here. I'm getting 3 points with Patrick Mahomes and the Super Bowl champs. That's it. End of story right there. And I know this could be a Vegas is begging you to take the Chiefs game, and maybe it is. But Kansas City still has to be dethroned here. I know Lamar Jackson and the Ravens have been great, but a trick freaking Mahomes, the best player on the planet, and you're getting a field goal. How do you not at least invest a couple shekels in that and take a flyer? If you lose, all right, you understand you lost, but if you're going to go down, you go down with the best. And how often do you get the best getting points in a game, and you have that here?
And am I crazy to say that they've played in the regular season now for three straight years and that the Chiefs won the first two?
I have to go back to last year. I know it was 2 years ago they won. It did. That part of the betting slipping slipped my mind. That could be a good job by you, D.A.
All right, and finally, your always undefeated football food of the week, although last year you took a few L's. And this week, you're back to your own recipe. First 2 weeks were listener recipes. Now you're doing your own thing. Tell me all about the magic of sausage and pepper empanadas.
So the empanadas, if you read the Up the Gut column year after year after year, are really something I like leaning on. Listen, it's a crispy, flaky shell that you could stuff with just about anything. We've done buffalo chicken. We've done cheeseburger. We've done Philly cheesesteak. Look, ground sausage, talk to your Italian grandmother, right? Because she knows how to mix that with the right meatball ingredients and have all of that going on. You get that? You get the peppers, you get the onions. You chop it all up nice and small, because remember, it's got to fit in a pocket that is an empanada. You cook that all in a frying pan, get it all sizzling, get the flavors and the juices mixing together. Your whole kitchen will smell beautiful. You get these empanada shells right in your local grocery. Let them thaw a little bit. You fold over them once you've packed up the cooked sausage, peppers, and onions over it, and you fan it out with a fork to seal it. 2 or 3 minutes on each side in a frying pan with oil. You get that nice and crispy, nice and flaky. Picture, if you're not familiar with an empanada, a Jamaican meat patty, but with sausage and peppers and a little crispierness to it. Oh, yeah. It is something that will be delightful. It screams the weather's getting a little chillier in places. Enjoy sausage and pepper empanadas. Check it out this week. And please, please follow that Up the Gut Instagram account, because I think we might be getting a grade back this week as well.
Oh, Moose is back giving grades, huh?
That is the early reports. Indications tell me this food will be graded this Sunday. So something else to keep an eye on as you get ready for the action.
Indeed, my memory does not fail me. 2 years ago, the Chiefs beat the Ravens in Week 14, 27-24 in overtime. That was a kind of crazy game at Arrowhead where the Chiefs needed to pull one out late. And then last year, the Chiefs beat the Ravens in Week 3. So this is the third straight year Mahomes and Lamar will play in the regular season.
How about that?
It is time for Mraz's 75th anniversary, team. He didn't think he's going to make it past the age of 75, but kind of like the NFL, he wants to give out a 75th anniversary team. And so, Mraz, take it away. Who are the most important people in your life for the 75th anniversary team?
Look, there's a lot that's gone into making this what it is. And what it is a big floppy mess.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't need to give big speeches about my parents, my wife, my daughter. They would all be on the team, but who cares? I'm not going to go down that road, right? There are a couple special ones, and let me just start with Kim Rico. Now, you might remember Kim Rico from the fall of 2003, who interviewed a 16-year-old me with spiked hair and decided, this is the sandwich artist I need to hire. She was the first to give me a job, hired me at Subway, taught me everything I needed to know about the veggie game, if you will, in Subway, because I was not eating healthy at the time. And really, that set up my potential for working hard and all of that. She installed all of that in me. So that is such a big part of it. Now, what goes hand in hand is earlier in my life, before I got hooked up with a Kim Rico, I just want to give a shout out to Beatrice Murray. Beatrice Murray, you might remember from West Babylon High School, fantastic lunch lady at the time. And she was the first in my life to undercook a chocolate chip cookie. And where this really played in is by senior year, I was taking three lunches. And all I had really known from my father taking the cheap way out as far as groceries went was a Chips Ahoy. Occasionally, we might burn some cookies in the oven. But when Beatrice burst onto the scene in West Babylon High School, she did something I'd never seen before that's really taken it by storm. She underbaked cookies, so it was a little doughier in the middle. It took off. I fell in love with cookies back then. I still love cookies to this day. Later in my Subway days, I would also underbake cookies as well. The heck with salmonella. A cookie is better underbaked. And Beatrice really left her fingerprints all over me. I'd also love to add both of, or all three of my dogs in my life, Wellington J and currently Eli, to my 75th anniversary team. You know, the best part about having a dog is they don't talk back. And in some of my darkest moments, having conversations with those dogs and them just licking me and giving me their bad breath back really gave me the sanity I deserve. Now, I would also like to add George Higgins to my 75th anniversary list. George is responsible for being the longtime commissioner of the Long Island Flag Football League. Why is that important to me, you say? Well, way back when I was recruited to play offensive line at West Babylon High School by some of the linemen when a right guard went down junior year. They saw a fat kid, love football, love sports. They thought I could be a plug-and-play guard. Problem is, my mother did not sign for my permission slip to play football my entire life. She was scared of injury. What George Higgins did with evolving this Long Island Flag Football League is he gave me a safe outlet to play football, organized football, and I got to chase down a dream of playing tight end. And I stood in there in the trenches and played tight end every fall and spring from the years 2003 to the years 2018 on the Young Guns. And without George Higgins, living that dream of a guy who couldn't get down the field but thought he could really, really was something special. So I'd like to thank George Higgins for that. And I guess, last but not least, this is a tough one, but I'm going to go with Steve. And who's Steve, you might say? Well, we never got a last name, but he is our long, long-time waiter at the Farmingdale, Long Island Applebee's.
Wow.
Now, when I was in high school, before legal alcohol happened, there was only one thing to do after 10 o'clock. And that was go to Applebee's for half-price appetizers. And we would always sit at the table where Steve got it. Steve looked a lot like Usher. We eventually started calling him Usher down the line. But Steve was the first person in my life to memorize an order. He knew I walked in there. It was raspberry iced tea on the rocks. It was boneless wings mild. Order of mozzarella stick. The order would come to about $14 every single Friday night. And that little bit of respect went a long way, D.A., because I remember that feeling of knowing that you were a usual, right? If you're a usual and somebody remembers your order, that's important. That makes you feel important. And no other waiter since had made me feel that way. And I like to make people feel important going forward, and I like to make people feel special. And that's because Steve remembered my boneless wings and mozzarella stick and raspberry iced tea order. He would have to be on my 75th anniversary team.
That was even better than I could have ever dreamt. Mraz believes that he'll expire at 75 years old, but like the NFL will have its 75th anniversary team. On it! Forget his mom, forget Bob the Deli Man, forget his wife, forget his sisters. Kim Rico, congratulations. Beatrice Murray, the lunch lady, congratulations. The dogs, Wellington, Jay, Eli, George Higgins, commissioner of the Long Island Flag Football League, and Steve the Waiter, a.k.a. Usher, are all members of Mraz's 75th life anniversary team.
How does D.A. not get a spot? Without D.A., you'd still be working for Kim Rico and getting cheap eats from Steve / Usher. But well, D.A. doesn't make the list?
It is amazing.
I forgot D.A. Good point.
I was waiting for somebody in your actually chosen industry, somebody in the field, whether it was me, the boss that hired you, one of the previous bosses, nobody in sports radio. We got a lunch lady, a Subway hirer, a flag football commissioner, three dogs, and an Applebee's waiter.
There's got to be an all-second team. An all-second team. Right, these are some of these guys.
Yeah. Okay, so... Okay, great. I'm Bob Greasy to Steve the Waiter, Terry Bradshaw, on the 1970s All-Decade Team.
How you doing, Steve?
I went with foundation pieces, guys, not obvious splashes.
And I'm still stuck on Kim Rico, who I'm sure is a great lady, D.A., but the idea that she chose Sean for what she saw in him, not because he was the only one that showed up that day to interview for a job.
Or that they'll just take whoever shows up because they just need staff.
Everyone else had real jobs.
Yeah, she turned people away at Subway.
She took a chance.
And that quote, Kim Rico, the hirer at Subway, human resources, taught him work ethic. I think that should be a demerit for Kim Rico. Kim Rico failed horribly at her job.
Kim Rico has declined her spot on the Sean's All 75 team.
She believes it'll hurt her reputation within the Subway industry.
It's the Tasty Top 5.
I'm tasty.
Number 5.
5-5-212-4227. Sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. This is the return of the Tasty Top 5, as now we have three power conferences playing. The ACC, the Big 12, and the SEC debuts this weekend. Number 5 comes to us from the ACC, and that will be Florida State traveling to number 12 Miami. The Hurricanes are an 11-point favorite of this game. It's going to be tomorrow night on ABC, 7:30 Eastern kick. This is interesting because, is Miami back? We ask this all the time. What will it take to get Miami back? But Florida State's in a bad way right now. They obviously got humiliated and have had a first couple of weeks that have been very rough. But Miami's ranked in the top 15, and college football's better when Miami's good because they bring personality, they bring history, they bring a big market. For me, I still don't believe Miami's as good as its ranking, and I think that if they are going to be a top 15 team under Manny Diaz, which is where the ACC needs them to be desperately, this game has to be a whitewash. They have to absolutely dismantle a bad FSU team. So Miami, prime time, national TV. Let's see if you got what it takes to do what you need to do on Saturday night.
Number 4.
It's the debuts of Auburn and Kentucky. It's a ranked matchup. Number 8 Auburn hosting number 23 Kentucky. The Tigers are a 7.5-point favorite. This is a noon kick tomorrow on the SEC Network Eastern Time. And this is interesting because both teams are ranked. And styles make a fight. You have Bo Nix coming off a very good freshman year at Auburn, which was really a building year for Gus Malzahn, knowing I'm going to a true freshman, against Terry Wilson, who missed 11 games last year because of a torn tendon in his knee. Wilson is dynamic. He can run the football so well, and it's going to be a ground-based option offense for Kentucky. But the Wildcats have something cooking. You know, Stoops has this program in bowl contention every year. And this was an eight-win team last year against the Auburn Tigers, who were a 9-win team. So this is actually a very good matchup. Don't sleep on Auburn-Kentucky tomorrow at noon Eastern.
Number 3.
I'm going Raging Cajun. Not only because I love Cajun food, but I also love what Louisiana is doing right now. They got the win on the road over a top 25 team in Iowa State. So we say, wow, the Raging Cajuns actually might be really good because they've actually invested money into their program. They're 11.5-point favorites at home. This is noon tomorrow on ESPN2, but they're taking on Georgia Southern. And they stayed at number 19, but are they a legit number 19 team of the country after needing overtime to beat Georgia State and coming back from down 2 touchdowns? I don't know what Louisiana is, but it would be awesome if the Raging Cajuns were a top 20 team. So tomorrow, Louisiana, you've got another test. You've really got to beat up on Georgia Southern to convince us that you're a top 20 team.
Number 2.
It's time for the Mississippi new coaches. At Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin strolls in. This one is at the Grove. Number 5 Florida, probably the best team in the SEC East, is going to take on Ole Miss. Now, they're 13.5-point favorites. Can Lane Kiffin keep it within 14? 2 touchdowns. This is, again, noon on ESPN tomorrow, Eastern kick. I love this because is Ole Miss going to be interesting again? When Hugh Freeze, not huge, was there, they were interesting. They were winning. They were cheating their asses off, but they were winning. Can Lane Kiffin win and not cheat his ass off at Ole Miss? It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. This is a number 2 tastiest matchup of the weekend. Number 5 Florida at Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin.
Number 1.
And this is the other new Mississippi coach. Mississippi State, Mike Leach has his debut for the Bulldogs. They travel to the national champion, number 5 LSU Tigers. What does Coach O's LSU team look like? We know that they've had a ton of COVID cases this summer. What do they look like? And what do they look like against Mike Leach? Will Mississippi State go air raid right from the jump? And will they throw it all over the lot against the defending national champions at Death Valley? To me, this is fascinating, and I know that it's a 16.5-point spread. LSU is favored big, but this is the 3:30 game on CBS, and you know me. There's something close to my heart about the SEC 3:30 game forever, and I hope that it never leaves the CBS network. That is my number one tastiest matchup of the college football weekend.
I'm tasty.
Just good to have the big boys back. You know, it was fine that the ACC was playing, but outside of Clemson, yawn. It was fine that the Big 12 was playing, but outside of Oklahoma versus Texas, major yawn. When the SEC comes back and then the Big 10 comes back, well, now we got juice. Now we got some action. And people are wondering, well, why is college football kind of taking a back seat this year? Why does it feel like it didn't have the attention that it used to? Because the two most interesting conferences haven't played a game yet, the SEC and the Big 10. No offense, but the ACC, the Big 12, the Pac-12 can play a thousand games. And it's not really a college football season. But when the Big 10 and the SEC get involved, yeah, sorry, it's just different.
Let's get stunned for the weekend.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
And it's like this one was written just for us. We've got Florida Man and we've got food. Chicken nuggets, to be more specific.
Perfect.
39-year-old Florida man Alexei Stoflat is suing McDonald's for $1.1 million and demanding a recall to, quote, avoid massive consumer injuries.
Uh-oh.
Stoflat says a tiny piece of bone in his chicken nugget broke one of his teeth. He dealt with days of pain before finally going to the dentist, who found two micro cracks in that tooth.
Ooh.
There are pictures of this alleged bone fragment. If he wins, Stoflat says he'll donate most of that money, keeping some to pay his dental bills, of course, and for his mental and emotional distress.
Chicken nuggets.
I have two questions here for the Thictator. Well, one's a statement. I didn't know nuggets came from actual chickens, which would mean bones weren't a danger. But then maybe more importantly,
what'd you think
could
they came
you,
from?
Like, just some kind of processed, like a hot dog. Do I want to know what's in the hot dog? No. Do I want to know what's in the chicken nugget? No.
Right. Just
but
like
maybe
chicken
more
parts smushed together, liquefied, and
materials.
Fried.
Sean, could you sue McDonald's for this after all of the years of happiness they've given you? Or would this be like a fair trade in your mind? You are one broken tooth for all the Happy Meals and milkshakes and calories.
I have a real issue with suing. Like, to me, this is where you just pull a Schwartz, right? Your tooth hurts, you go back in and you demand some kind of, you know, refund or coupons or something. I mean, suing for over $1 million because you've cracked a tooth because you didn't feel like making a peanut butter and jelly that day feels to me like a little bit of a reach. Now, the McDonald's chicken nugget, if you go down all the chicken nuggets of all the big heavy hitters, they are a little more ground up, you could tell, and mixed up of pieces. If there was ever going to be a bone fragment found in a chicken nugget, it would be that of a McDonald's nugget. But what makes it hurt also makes it good. It's also why I think McDonald's has one of the more special nuggets on the market. So, again, I couldn't do that. I couldn't turn my back. If you love McDonald's enough, McDonald's has been very generous with charities and stuff like that. I can't be suing them because I cracked a tooth. I think it's just you chalk it up for a loss, and you know you get some free quarter pounder with cheese meals away, and away you go.
McDonald's building communities throughout America with their charity.
They're on a McDonald's Foundation.
I know they got the McDonald Foundation.
I know.
They've also given a lot of people
sick kids.
Well, they've also given a lot of people a lot of sodium and a lot of gout over the years as well. So I don't. That kind of is a trade off.
Who's under one of the best lunches you've ever? I know about the foundation.
I know. I dropped a quarter in that clear bucket right in front of me. The plexiglass Ronald McDonald House. We've all seen it. I know. Seeing the cartoon, Ronald holding balloons with a bunch of kids. We know.
I can't. What are we doing this week on the air?
But I have
to say, Mraz, have a foundation.
I have to say, I gotta say, this doesn't sound so out of reason or out of touch. I could definitely conceive of me biting into a chicken McNugget and hitting a bone fragment and there being a little micro break in my tooth and me going to the dentist and him saying, yeah, you bit into something hard. And we look at it, it might, maybe it's cartilage, maybe it's a bone, but that, yeah, that, I could see that happening. The thing is, I hate the $1 million lawsuit. Like, to me, that's a $300 lawsuit. You want to pay for your dental work? That's fine. The emotional and mental distress of eating a chicken nugget, I mean, get lost with that. And he says he's going to donate it, but I mean, give me a break. How can we ever hold him to that? To me, fine. Small claims court. You want your dental work paid for. Okay. $1 million. Give me a break.
No, this is a, honestly, this is a case for Judge Judy. This is not a case for a big court settlement for $1 million. This is where Judge Judy screams at you, calls, you know, Ronald or whoever to make that you're an idiot, grind up your chicken better. And you walk out of there with, like you said, $300, whatever pays for the, even if it's $1,000. And that's the end of the day. And we all have a laugh on TV and we go home. $1 million. And like you said, show me the charities. Is he going into the George Costanza Human Fund? I mean, let's watch this guy's car and intake here over the next couple of years.
Yeah, and like, this is a Jackie Child situation, right?
I'll where tell you, put the bomb
on. He's like, you cannot bite, we win the fight. Okay. That's $1 million lawsuit you got. $1 million. You bit into a hard chicken nugget. And also, I got to say, every time you eat a fast food chicken nugget, you do take your health into your own hands. I mean, not saying I'm above it. I just had Wendy's chicken nuggets not long ago. But I know, like Bogus said, this is not like clean white-breasted chicken that they're frying up. This is a lot of particle board that has a few chicken pieces in it.
Mind you, DA acknowledged you taking your life in his own hands. He had me sit there and eat 52 chicken nuggets for show fodder on the air once. But, of course, what sells?
Well, was it a 12 DA or not?
That's all I'm looking for. It was a 12 DA. It was, and now I'm putting together an all-75 team because of it.
It's a spread. It's a line. It's Super Dave.
All I know is, if you're betting our games, you're sitting on enough money to retire. BYU, they're okay. Brent Gabbert, that's Blaine's brother.
With your weekly college football picks.
Our picks are on fire. I'm more concerned taking over for a guy named Huge. This is just an unbelievable coaching mismatch.
Thank you, Super Dave.
It's an Ask the Pros Day. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Now, last year, Super Dave was effective enough to knock off Mraz and force Mraz to take the SAT. This year, though, through 2 weeks, Super Dave is only 1-4. Super Dave, how you doing this morning?
Well, I'd be better if I wasn't 1-4, but I feel like this is really the start of college football season with the SEC back this week.
The SEC is back this week, which opens up the gate for you. But let's start outside of the SEC, where you're looking at Tulane and Southern Miss, and you're looking at the Green Wave laying 3.5, and you're feeling an Armed Forces Bowl rematch.
DA, you have Ravens Chiefs Monday. I have second incarnation of the Armed Forces Bowl. Tulane beat Southern Miss 30-13 last year, and quite frankly, things haven't gone that well for Southern Miss since. They lost their opener this year to South Alabama. They fired their coach after the game. Meanwhile, Tulane is steady. This was a bad program before Willie Fritz took over, but he is just solid and steady. They beat that same South Alabama team that Tulane lost to, and I just don't see a compelling reason why this game should be that much different than the Armed Forces Bowl.
I know you love Rogue Steve Logan as the coach that went for it all. Willie Fritz, maybe a modern-day Steve Logan in your mind?
Fritz has a lot of that Steve Logan, or for someone who's a Southern Miss fan, a lot of Jeff Bauer, who was at Southern Miss for a long time and did a great job. Not sexy, not exciting, just wins.
Louisville and Pittsburgh in the ACC. Pittsburgh is favored by 3 at home, but you're leaning the other way for the Cardinals.
Just feels like it should be a pick 'em game. This is two teams that coming into the year, Louisville was picked fourth in the ACC. Pitt was finished eighth. What has Pitt done? Beating Austin Peay and Syracuse is not a tremendous accomplishment. Louisville didn't do much either. They beat Western Kentucky, lost to Miami. But I think Louisville's offense is probably just as good as Pitt's defense. These teams feel very, very evenly matched. I like Scott Satterfield a great deal. It's his second year at Louisville. I think it's a pick'em game. I love getting points.
As you wrote up, that Pitt this year has beaten Austin Peay and Syracuse, which is a bit like the kid who's the best player in the cul-de-sac, but then we realize he's 14 and the other kids are only 9 years old. Not all that impressive to beat Austin Peay and Syracuse this year.
It doesn't take a great deal. I would think a lot of teams could accomplish that.
In the SEC, it could be for supremacy in basketball, but instead we're opening things up on the football field with Kentucky and Auburn, and you like the Wildcats plus the 8 here on the Plains.
I think this spread is all about the names. We remember Auburn competing for national championships. Gus Malzahn, of course, did a tremendous job with them early in his tenure and when he was a coordinator. But the last 2 years, the Wildcats are 18-8, and Auburn is 17-9. Kentucky is terrific where it counts, in the trenches. Phil Steele says they're a top five offensive line. Two of their three down linemen defensively are all conference players. Auburn's got Bo Nix. He's really, really good, but they're replacing 15 starters. I think it could be a low-scoring game, and I like Kentucky. I think they're pretty good.
Auburn, Kentucky was one of my tasty top fives. Super Dave likes Kentucky plus the 8 there. They're coming off an 8-win season last year under Coach Stoops. And finally, this was my number one of my tasty top five, Mississippi State and LSU. We get to see Mike Leach's debut with the Cowbells and the Bulldogs. This one's at Death Valley, Mississippi State plus the 17, and you're thinking that's just way too big a spread.
Well, I just don't think we know anything about LSU. I feel like this spread is indicative of the team that won the national championship. Who didn't love Joe Burrow and those receivers and that offense? Maybe the greatest offense that college football has ever assembled, but we have no idea who LSU is. New offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, completely new group of players. I assume they're really talented. Ed Orgeron can really recruit. But if you told me 5 years ago it was Ed Orgeron versus Mike Leach, I would have run to the ATM and bet on Mike Leach. And sure, it's a new system at Mississippi State and new players. But remember, he brought KJ Costello from Stanford, and he can really wing it out there. Mississippi is just the pinnacle of college football right now with Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach and Deion Sanders, and 17 points against a total unknown in LSU feels like value to me.
That's the picks. Thank you, Super Dave.
Thank you, DA.
It's a thing. It's a plane. It's
Super Dave.
I love throwing Deion Sanders into the mix with Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach as head coaches in college football in the state of Mississippi. Super Dave likes Tulane, Louisville, Kentucky, and Mississippi State this week.
It's a Friday fiesta. Here's what our listeners in the Target Demo are up to.
As always, we ask you to Target Demo Friday to send us where you are, how you're listening, and what you're doing, and we'll read through those over the course of the show. Cigar City Capo tweets, check it in for Target Demo Friday from Tampa, listening on the radio.com app. Calling Tampa sports fans lethargic is pretty accurate. The 90-degree heat and humidity only allows for fans to be front runners. Insert drop here, hashtag Heaven's Waiting Room.
Oh, God.
What? Ralph tweets, I'm in the Capitol, listening on radio.com at work, checking in new cars. Hashtag beam me up. Rob tweets, I'm listening on the radio.com app in Caribou, Maine, because of the lack of terrestrial sports radio here. Plastic wrapping my house. At least I don't have to head to the local hardware store 8 times in a day. Hashtag beam me up. Yannick tweets, I'm in Greenbelt, Maryland, listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1300. Going to have class at 9:15 this morning, watch a new episode of The Loud House and the Casa Grandes and Heat game, getting ready for the weekend. All right.
Yo, dude, you got to chill.
Amos, what up, fellas? Driving across the Smoky Mountain through Sam's Gap back to Johnson City, listening on the radio.com app. P.S., what's the line for the number of Saints penalties Sunday night against the Packers? Defensive holding and defensive P.I. Hashtag the Aints. Hashtag fire Dan Quinn. Hashtag get him out.
Get him out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Can you believe that the Bears are 2-0, the Falcons are 0-2, and the Falcons are favored? That's how little Vegas thinks of the Mitch Trubisky 2-0 Bears. Ridgely tweets, I haven't had a personal day all year, so I thought I'd take a page out of the book of DA and extend my weekend. Gonna grill and drink beer all day. Hashtag how many beers ago? There you go, Ridgely. Man,
you need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
See, it feels good, doesn't it? Alien OG is printing election ballots for Kansas here in Lawrence. My favorite band released a new album today, so as soon as I get home, I'll be slamming brews, cranking tunes, getting myself beamed up via the Kush. Let freedom ring with the sounds of the Deftones. Hashtag target demo. Marianne is eating pot roast in her living room, listening on the radio.com app, dreading going to work. Yay, Fridays! White Californians harvesting grapes in Paso Robles, California. I've been there. It's beautiful. Listening on radio.com and getting ready for another day of winemaking. Kevin tweets, I'm putting in my last day of work here this week. First Saturday off in a month. Looking to celebrate this week. And after a very long search, my fiance and I finally found a land for our building to build our home on. Pete the Body's right. Real estate market sucks for buyers. Hashtag zap zap.
Get him out. Get him out. Get him out.
Brian tweets, I'm listening in Kingman, Arizona, driving down the road working for Budweiser. All right. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Now, that's a little taste of the radio network of the Yankees from earlier this week. That is the great John and Susan. Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm wrong.
Oh, since when has that ever happened, John? On Facebook, Jeff is listening on 1270 in Buffalo, getting ready to watch the Bills go to 3-0 this weekend. Let's go, Buffalo. Hashtag beat me up. Bryant in Abilene, Texas, 98-1 the ticket. DA, let me get a beam up. Getting the workday done early. It's my birthday weekend and possibly baby arrival. Hashtag Falcon still watch that ball go 10 yards downfield, not knowing what to do. Edwards in Oregon, waiting to start work. Sitting in my car, got 95.3 on. You guys are my favorite thing in the morning. Hashtag beam me up. Hank is a 93-1 the ticket on his work to on his way to work for UPS in Boise. Chris is outside of Pittsburgh, listening on the radio.com app, enjoying his last day off before he's about to go to work for the next four, about to celebrate my dad's 65th. And Mikey's doing corrosion control on the Space Coast of Florida, listening on 1560. My youngest granddaughter, Cora, and I celebrate our birthdays together tomorrow. Can we get a birthday beam up, DA?
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
And that's the way we do it here on the DA Show. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Pete the Body, play the tape.
Even the DA Show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
And let me just start with Kim Rico. Now, you might remember Kim Rico from the fall of 2003, who interviewed a 16-year-old me with spiked hair and decided, this is the sandwich artist I need to hire. She was the first to give me a job, hired me at Subway, and really that set up my potential for working hard and all of that. She installed all of that in me.
Waka waka.
I just want to give a shout out to Beatrice Murray. Beatrice Murray, you might remember from West Babylon High School, fantastic lunch lady at the time. And she was the first in my life to undercook a chocolate chip cookie. But when Beatrice burst onto the scene in West Babylon High School, she underbaked cookies.
A whole new world.
Now, I would also like to add George Higgins to my 75th anniversary list. George is responsible for being the longtime commissioner of the Long Island Flake Football League. Why is that important to me, you say? Well, what George Higgins did with evolving this Long Island Flake Football League is he gave me a safe outlet to play football, organized football, and I got to chase down a dream of playing tight end.
Mraz is a spitter. I can't respect that. You shouldn't either.
Last but not least, this is a tough one, but I'm going to go with Steve. But he is our long, long time waiter at the Farmingdale Long Island Applebee's. There was only one thing to do after 10 o'clock, and that was go to Applebee's for half-price appetizers. And we would always sit at the table where Steve got us. Steve looked a lot like Usher. We eventually started calling him Usher. But Steve was the first person in my life to memorize an order. He knew I walked in there. Get yourself a pork shoulder. It was raspberry iced tea on the rocks. It was boneless wings mild. Order of mozzarella stick. The order would come to about $14 every single Friday night.
How does DA not get a spot? Without DA, you'd still be working for Kim Rico and getting cheap eats from Steve slash Usher. But well, DA doesn't make the list?
It is amazing.
I forgot DA. Good point.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Mraz believes he'll only last until 75 years old, but like the NFL's 75th anniversary, he wanted to announce his 75th anniversary team today. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. More Target Demo Fridays on Facebook. Spencer's in York, PA, listing on 1440. Dreaming of Mraz Dangerfield versus Connor Shecky Green in an MLB bubble wrap playoff showdown. Ricky's in Detroit, building an in-ground fire pit to surprise my little girl. Little wet, little grippy. Joe is on WXNT 1430 in Indianapolis. Hashtag we miss little Mo. Joe, I do too, which is why every day if you follow me on social media, you see a feel-good moment or a good mojo moment. And I post those every day to get a little smile like little Mo would. Thanks to Mraz, executive producer, Pete the Body Bilotti, Wheels of Steel, Andrew Kaplan, Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Bogish on the headlines. What a great week from these guys. Fun week to be here. We'll see you on Monday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.